Now, remember, every show has a theme, and our theme today is Fun Friday, but a subset of that, we're talking business all day today. Paco Underhill with What Women Want, and now my next guest is known as the Guru of Thank You. I mean, he literally wrote the book on how to reward and motivate employees in non-monetary terms, which in this environment, that's a good thing to know. His titles that he's written include 1001 Ways to Reward Employees, 1001 Ways to Energize Employees. He wrote 1001 Ways Rewards and Recognitions Field Book and 1001 Ways to Take the Initiative at Work. His latest book is titled Ubuntu. Dr. Bob Nelson is the leading expert on employee recognition, rewards, and motivation. He's president of Nelson Motivation Incorporated, and he's the co-founder of Recognition Professionals Incorporated. He's worked for over two-thirds of the Fortune 500 to improve their strategies. He's appeared on countless shows on countless stations, CBS 60 Minutes, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, PBS, NPR, the list goes on and on. He's also been featured in print publications, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Fortune, etc., etc., etc. He holds his MBA in organizational behavior from UC Berkeley. He received his PhD in management from the Peter F. Drucker Graduate School at Claremont University right here in Los Angeles. And he is known as the Guru of Thank You. Welcome to the show, Bob Nelson. How are you today?
And that about wraps up all the time we've got.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. We got nothing but time for you, my friend. It's Fun Friday.
I'm doing great, Billy. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to have you on the show. It's wonderful. Good. Now, everything, you know, leading up to this, we're talking about motivating and rewarding people. In this economy, I mean, it just seems to me that it would be not only good sense, but common courtesy that you'd want to take care of your employees, particularly in the economy that we're in. How come so many of our businesses just don't take the extra step to be courteous to their employees?
Well, common courtesy, I tell you, that goes out the window when the chips are down, I'll tell you that. And there's so many companies in survival mode, so many employees are in fear and trepidation. There's general malaise in the workforce across America, morale's in the toilet. People are fearful of losing their jobs as the recession that's supposed to be over lingers on, as unemployment continues to be at record levels and is forecasted to be for at least another year or two more. Ouch.
Ouch is right. But every report that I get from businesses, and this is the financial reporting season, so every annual report that I get from companies says employees are our number one asset.
Yeah, until the chips are down. And then our number one asset starts to look like a expense drain. And so I don't know, 90% of companies have had cutbacks, you know, because of the recession. If you're not selling the product or the service, and you've got fewer customers that are looking for bargains, and you got less revenue, and something's got to give. And if a lot of things are fixed costs, then you get into the cost of employees is for most companies the largest cost they have, and so as you have to cut into that and lay off, yes, or versions of that, salary freeze, hiring freezes, and so even as there's pickup in the economy, most organizations are going to be slower to hire back.
We're talking to the Guru of Thank You, everybody, Bob Nelson, PhD. And that all sounds very gloomy, especially on Fun Friday, but let me just lay some other facts on you. That sort of reiterate this, but then I want to come around, and we'll make this positive in just a second. But Drake International and Hewitt Associates have done some research. 40% of employees feel that they are less motivated now in this economy. 47% feel a loss of trust at work.
Yes.
And those are facts. They've been measured by these reputable polling companies. A lot of my listeners are listening to the sound of our voice at their desk at work. And so I want to ask you, you've done all of this work motivating employees and everything else. What evidence is there to show that motivated employees actually benefit a company?
Oh, well, there's actually very strong evidence. For example, you look at something like the 100 best places to work in America, the analysis of those companies versus the broader market shows that they have a 233% higher return.
233%?
Yes.
Wow.
You look at alignment of employee satisfaction with shareholder return, 700% greater return. As employees feel more satisfied, they like their job, they like their boss, they're going to be, their morale's better, they feel more empowered, they enjoy their work, they do a better job, they enjoy delighting the customers. It just goes hand in hand, logically, but also all the studies kind of reinforce that yes, as people feel good about where they work, who they're working for, they do a better job, they go above and beyond as a matter of course, and then the customer sees it, the coworker sees it, right down the line. So it is significant, but when times are tough, the tendency is like, well, that's all well and good, but we got to make some serious cuts here. And so most companies I deal with, they've had to cut back on things. Again, there's the hard, the hardest, you can lose your job, but even if you get to keep your job, you didn't get a bonus, you didn't get a pay increase.
Right.
You're being asked to share the cost of benefits, very common. And so that kind of wears on you. If you're in California, you've just been and you're a state employee, you've just been asked to be on furlough 3 days a month. That's about a 14% pay cut.
Right there, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's they're for most people they're in that. But even if they're still working, they're very nervous and anxious about, is their company going to make it? Are they going to be on the next layoff list? That type of thing. So I feel strongly, we could talk about the economy here all day, but I feel strongly that there's a lot of things you can't control. But as a manager, as a business owner, there's a lot of things you can control. And so what I focus on with people is getting managers in their sphere of influence. So I can't control interest rates, I can't control negativity, I can't control government regulations, but I can control that this team that I'm managing right now, that we're trying to do a job, and we're trying to do it in a certain time period to the best of our ability. I can control their focus and excitement on doing that project, that job, and I can acknowledge them as they have successes along the way, starting with a personal thank you, maybe having a celebration when we have a record week or month, and maybe I bring in a pizza or give everyone Starbucks cards, coupons, or actually you take something like, and any of this is a potential element that you impact motivation. So you take something as simple as coffee, and it's like, well, I've got been part of a survey that looks at just on coffee, how something like that in the workplace or pop can be a part of the motivational environment. Again, it's not the end all, but if you've got the coffee pot that you've had, for 20 years, and it's got the stuff like glue on, and that no one
it's all brown and disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard to look around in your environment. So how you treat people is important, but just an environment. What people like to work in a nice place? Can you have coffee where people have a choice of coffee? Can you bring in like a Keurig coffee maker and where they've got a choice, and they can make a fresh brewed cup, and they don't have to run to Starbucks and spend $4, which from my survey I did, I was surprised to find that that adds up to like $600 on average for an employee for the year.
Yes.
And up to a week of their time each year just, making a Starbucks run. It's like, if you want to help them be more productive at work, provide them good coffee at work, and if you can't give them more money, what's the next best thing? Can you do something that saves them money, whether it's on coffee or whether it's on commuting, for example? A study at Sun Microsystems, they looked at, for those people, they allowed to telecommute 2 days a week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
2 days a week. And you can't do this in every job, of course, but for those that you can, 2 days a week, they found on average that those people would save $1,700 a year in car wear and tear and gas.
$1,700 savings.
Yes. And so at a time where things are tight, you can be creative and find ways to help people save money. Not a better time, maybe you can give them more money for doing a good job. Now, short of doing that, what could you do that could save them money? And then that flips the scenario. What can we do to help people, whatever job you're hired for, what can we do to help them be an ambassador for our business? What can we do to incentivize cost-saving ideas? Everybody, I'm convinced every employee's got a $50,000 idea if we can just get it out. And most companies, they hire them to do one job, and you don't really make a job out of coming up with ideas for streamlining process or saving money. But the people that are doing the jobs that know how to do their individual job better after they do it for a while, you got to find a way to tap into that and ask for the so Best Buy, for example.
Okay.
In the recent here, compare Best Buy to Circuit City. What kind of head-to-head competitors? Well, Circuit City, when we hit the recession, their brainchild was to just take our high-paid salespeople, or maybe I don't know, maybe they're okay paid, but we could save. That's our biggest expense. Just get rid of all of them and hire people at a lower salary. Wow! And I'm sure the bean counter that came up with that one probably got a bonus or something, because they laid off across the board a whole strata of their service delivery component, and they brought in new, inexperienced, lower-paid people. And within 18 months, Billy,
they were out of business. They were out of business. That's right.
Now, look at Best Buy. They took a different look at it. They said, "Well, God, we've put a lot of effort into hiring the best people, train them to the best of our ability. How can we get more out of that investment?" And instead of just cutting it, and they said, "Well," when they hit the recession, they started a new thing, online suggestion program. So we know we talk about the importance of you have an idea, but we want to up the ante on that one. We created a vehicle where you can send us online the idea you have. In the first 3 weeks of doing that, first 3 weeks only, they got 900 ideas.
900 ideas in the first 3 weeks. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. He's the guru of thank you. He's written a new book, Ubuntu. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But I'm just fascinated. This head-to-head comparison between Best Buy and Circuit City, probably no more revealing example that you could have given than just this one. When you talk about Circuit City, which we all know now is bankrupt, the one we have down here in Oxnard.
I've got a service contract with them, by the way.
Which is probably as useless as wings, feathers on a frog. But and Best Buy, on the flip side of that, they went out and they solicited ideas from their employees, got 900 ideas in the first 3 weeks. Bob, I mean, I want to come back to something that you said, which I think glossed by many of our listeners, and that's the whole idea of the $50,000 idea. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the $50,000 idea is that anybody working in any job can find a way to save a company $50,000 a year by improving a process, or make a company $50,000 a year by identifying a new revenue opportunity, new profit opportunity. All they need to do is be encouraged to share that idea. Is it as simple as that?
That's it exactly. And I'd put it this way. You know, Michelangelo, when someone asked him about his how he did sculptures, and he said, I chip away at the marble until what I see in it emerges. He said, it's already there, and I chip away until other people can see it. Isn't that great?
That's great.
It's the same thing I'm saying. Like, everyone has the embedded potential to have a $50,000 idea. Now, if you send out an email, send me your $50,000 idea, you're not going to get it. But if you treated people in a way that they are smart, that they are resourceful, that they are the experts in their job, they are closer to the problems, they are closer to the customer, that as you help them open their eyes and you encourage the things that we're looking for from every employee, if there's a time when we need your idea, this is it. If you've got an idea, even if you don't think it's a good idea, if it's something that could save us money, we want you to bring it up. and we're going to provide a vehicle to do that, to discuss it, not just to have a suggestion box in the cafeteria, which has a lock on it, by the way. You know, it always amuses me.
But why does that amuse you?
It's like, here's ideas that could help us. No one opens this box, you know. Only management or whoever can open the box. It's like...
It's so secret.
Yeah, it's so secret. And then they never open the box, of course. And then if they do open the box, if they get any feedback at all, which, of course, they don't, the suggestion committee reviews the ideas once a month. Does this sound like a sense of urgency at all?
No.
Once a month, if they get around to it, and they spend their time... if they get back to the person at all, which typically they don't, that the person that does hear something, they get kind of a form letter from the suggestion committee saying, what gives you the right to think that, this is why we're not going to use your silly idea. What gives you the right to think that you've got, could tell us what to do over in purchasing? You're not even in this department. You know, who the hell are you anyway, you know? And that would be a negative consequence.
So. Oh, that's definitely demoralizing. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody, the guru of Thank You. He's also the author of a wonderful new book, Ubuntu, which we will get to in just a minute. But, Bob, I have to ask you, you know, we've been sort of negative. You've come up with some great ideas, just some simple things to do. The $50,000 idea, if I'm sitting and listening to the sound of your voice right now, and I'm at work, at my desk, and I know that there might be a $50,000 idea, can I leverage this into getting a raise, a pay raise, or maybe a bonus?
You better believe it. I remember I was taking a quick plane from, it was like Junction City, Colorado to Denver, or something, Colorado Springs or something, and just a little hopper plane, and the woman sitting next to me, she goes, you start talking. She goes, "Yeah, I'm on my way to the main office. My boss, it's my review time." I go, "Oh yeah, well how's that sound?" She goes, "Well, you know, I've never gotten an increase over 3%, 4% going rate." I go, "Well, how?" You know, I said, "Well, how? What's your strategy on that?" And her strategy basically came down to walking in the office and holding her head down and her hand out and saying, "Gee, can you give me anything more?" And I said, "Gee," doesn't sound like that's working very well. Why don't you look at it from the company's perspective? Why don't you look at it from the manager's perspective? Why don't you go into the meeting and talk about what you've done to make your boss look good over the last year, and specifically itemize the achievements you've done, the vendors you've worked with, the state of the relationships, where you've saved the company money, where you've taken on additional responsibilities, and why don't you say, "I've enjoyed doing this, and if it's been of value to you, I'm willing to do it another year, and to help keep all my areas' problems away, and take care of them for you, and to make you look good, if you take care of me, and show me that's worth it."
What a wonderful suggestion!
And she, I got a postcard from her a couple weeks later. She goes, "I got a 23% increase."
23%, wow.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm just saying, so many employees act like victims. They act like they're a passive observer of their own life. And say, take control. Be an advocate for what you're doing. Be an advocate and as you do that, you know, open your eyes to, in your job, even if your manager didn't say, I need cost-saving ideas from you, be the person that suggests them. Be the person that brings something up. I thought this would be a good idea. And don't just plop it on your manager's desk. Help to think it through. You know, and actually, you know, every you have an idea like that, there's some homework you got to do. You got an idea, you think, we've been getting a lot of calls around this complaint or this problem with our product or service, and I'll start tracking those calls.
Right.
We get 6 or 8. It turns out to be 14 calls on this one one thing. I think this would be a good service that we can start doing.
That's great. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. He is the guru of thank you. Bob, I want to come back and just how you reframed that thinking for the lady on your plane trip to Colorado Springs. And then we have to take a short break after that. But look at what you did and step me through this so that my listeners can understand. She was going in. She was going to get the raise. She was just going to listen to what the boss had to say about her particular performance that year. And that was all very good. But you helped her to change her thinking. Not only to look at it from the company's perspective, which I thought was brilliant, but even more brilliant than that was you said, hey, I'll go into this meeting. These are the things that I'm doing for you, Mr. Boss, to keep the sharks and the barracudas away from you. I'm fielding these kinds of problems that you don't have to deal with. And I'll continue to do that for another year. You know, using if we think that that's agreeable, I'll continue to do that for another year just to keep these problems away from your doorstep. So she turned her thinking away from being a liability to the boss, somebody that he had to give a review to and, you know, talk to and discipline and those kinds of things, to actually being a real advocate for the boss. I thought that was brilliant. Did I catch that right? Was that the essence of it?
And from the bosses, you know, we go through these stereotypes, and if she thought, well, the boss is the guy with the golden rule, the guy that has the gold, and I'm at his discretion as to, you know, and before that I was, in school, it was the teacher who had all the power. I'm saying change the power ratio. Say, hey, we're in it together, and talk in those terms.
I love it. Change the power ratio. I'm writing that down. I love
it. I've never said that before. It's funny.
Oh, breaking news right here on Billy the Brain. All right. I love it. It's a first. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. He is the author of the new book, Ubuntu. He's also the guru of thank you. When we come back after this short break, I do want to talk about your new book and the discoveries that you found in that book. We've got to pause for some commercials, but when we come back, be prepared to listen to why this new book is going to change your life at business. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming. We're here every day on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My guest this morning is Bob Nelson. He is the guru of thank you. He's a PhD. We were talking just before the break about really changing the power ratio in the office. And so my next question for you, Bob, is this. You know, this is an historic time. It's the first time in U.S. history that we've had four generations working in the workplace at the same time. And let me just break it down. They're the traditionals, those are the older people that really kind of aspire to the 1950s sort of mentality. The boomers, the baby boomers, Gen X and Gen Y. Gen Y is also sometimes called the millennials. Each of those groups has different motivations. Each of those groups has different needs. If I'm a manager in a fairly mid-sized to large company and I've got a mix of people, how am I going to motivate them? Because don't they all have different motivations?
Yes, they do. And so rule one is you got to assume that one size isn't going to fit all.
Okay.
So if you do the same thing you've been doing for the last decade or more, that is not going to, in most instances, almost assuredly, not going to mean much, if anything, to the new generation. So if you do a, you know, you do a plaque or a year, you know, employee of the month or a years of service, and it's crazy because, you know, 92% of organizations have years of service awards. I don't know anyone joining a company today that expects to be there 5-10 years. You know, whether they stay five weeks is going to be a function of of how they're treated. You know, are they treated with respect? Are they, do they feel that the work has meaning? Is it fun? Is it a fun place to work? If it doesn't have those things, they're not gonna stay through the end of the year, even let alone, you know, get their 10-year plaque. So.
Well, it is Fun Friday here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, so you know we're going to have fun. But Bob, help me to understand, what is it that, if you can just in a few words encapsulate, what is it that motivates a traditional? What is it that motivates a boomer, a Gen X, or a Gen Y?
Well, traditional, like the word says, is more traditional things. That they have been more used to something that was more formal, you know, done the end of the year at a banquet with the president would probably still work for them because they've kind of grown up with that and they feel it's a great honor.
And that's what they expect. Okay.
Yeah. So the younger generations are looking for for things that are a little bit more exciting. Maybe if you use a gift, it's more of a lifestyle gift instead of a piece of crystal, or, you know, or a logoed watch. The younger generation, they're looking to be the millennials. They're looking to have, you know, meaning in their job from day one. They're looking to have fun and excitement. They have this high expectation that for praise and recognition. It looks almost like they're insecure to an older generation, but I think that's a very practical thing that they know in changing times they're resourceful enough to know that you got to have a steady stream of feedback, and so you're looking to give them that feedback. And so as a baby boomer, which I am, you got to get over saying, God, these kids are so needy, and instead say and be good about giving them feedback and on a steady stream, not once a year in their performance review, but on a steady stream. Great job! Hey, like how you did that. Would you be interested in doing this? You got to make the workplace fun. You got to make the job fun. You got to open their eyes to the potential. So you have, you know, I remember I was talking to franchisee owners of Pizza Hut, 300 of them in Wisconsin, and they were bemoaning, you know, kids today and how, you know, they didn't stay and they weren't motivated. And initially I was kind of sympathetic. And I said, but do you guys listen to yourselves? You know, I told this group, I said, raise your hand if you've ever made a pizza. Well, of course, all their hands went up. Raise your hand if you ever delivered a pizza. Every hand went up. I said, stop talking about those jobs and thinking of those people as dead-end losers, because they're gonna actually end up being that and prove you right. Start talking about the job as a stepping stone towards the life, towards the career. They go, Gary, I know you're starting here. I know we're not paying you, but minimum wage doesn't seem like much of a job. But you see that guy over there? Yeah, he started this job 5 months ago. He's assistant manager now. You see, you met earlier. You met Tony, right? Yeah, Tony, we're opening up a new franchise. He's going to be the manager there. He started the same job 2 years ago.
But isn't that just showing him the career path? I mean, that's all that there is to it. I don't mean to trivialize it, but that is what it is.
Most managers do not talk about career path with their employees. They hire the job. Here's what you got to do: deliver the pizzas. Here's where the address is. Take it. You know, get out of here. You know,
gotcha.
And that's the whole thing. That's gotcha. The whole context. And so you do that, and initially, you know, you got some pocket money. You go, God, this is a crap job. And you quit. Now, if you have someone where now you set it up where you're going to learn things, where you can see how we deal with vendors. You know, you can learn how to run a small business here.
Absolutely.
I'm willing to take time to explain things to you. Tell you what, here, I'll do this for you, Gary. You go learn accounting at community college. You finish that course, I'm gonna give you a 50 cent an hour increase. I know companies that do that.
Sure.
Anyone that learns accounting, because you could be closer to understanding what we're trying to do here in running a business. You could show that you invested in yourself with time, and you are interested in learning and growing and being able to have a larger capacity to contribute.
We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. I think that tip alone is worth the price of the interview right there. That is that Generation Y people need more excitement. They need more praise. They need more encouragement along the way. Don't view it as them being needy, but view it as just a feedback mechanism that they thrive on, and that's truly what they need. I think that's brilliant. Now, Bob, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about your new book, Ubuntu, which is an African term. I mean, what does an African term or an African concept have to do with business here in the United States?
Yes, well, it's a good question. It's a South African term, and it's really a term from their culture. It's a term that refers to connectedness and the connectedness that we all have. And my co-author and I, Stephen Lundin, who wrote the Fish line of books around fun and energy in the workplace, we came across this term, and we thought, man, if there's ever a time when businesses needed that concept, was now. Was to show people, especially the me generation, that they can get more achieved by looking at working together instead of working apart. What we have in common together. And so we talk about explaining that principle and harnessing its power for people to bring to the workplace, to the job, to who they're working with.
Sort of it takes a village meets business, in other words.
Yeah, there you go. Well said.
Well, but that teamwork, that connectedness that Ubuntu really stands for, you know, give me some practical examples. I love one of the examples in your book. It has to do with sports, one of my favorite topics. Tell us about the Boston Celtics and how they use this.
Well, the Boston Celtics, their coach Doc Rivers heard of this concept and instantly said that's something we need, because here you got a team of superstars. They're all very talented people. Doesn't make for a team. It makes for a lot of people that each want to make the bucket, you know. And so he saw this as a way to pull the team together, have them working together, because they will be able to achieve. I mean, I've got them on tape saying, no, for as great as they are, they can be greater if they rely on others. And we are, and I am because we are, is part of the concept of Ubuntu. So to get them to put the team above the self and above the ego is what it's all about. And they actively talk about it, and they would use it, especially during adversity. It helps to bring the group together instead of having them fall apart and being a blame game, that you did this wrong, that you did this wrong, and that's what we tend to do. That instead they became stronger in adversity, and they credited it. Now, they made it to the
finals.
Seventh game, yeah. They lost in the seventh game this year, but the year before last, they won the championship, and they attributed that to this concept of Ubuntu.
Well, and that makes perfect sense in a sports environment where you've got a common enemy. In this case, it was the LA Lakers and so forth. But let's say I'm a manager of an accounting department. How do I take that concept and apply it to my accounting department?
Well, in the story, in the book, we talk about a manager that kind of views his job as the person in charge, and if people aren't doing a good job, he's responsible, so he's got to do their work for them, and he tries to apply it, being a manager, as he sees it, he's ends up is having a less effective team, is working more hours himself, which takes a toll on his personal life. And so the story unfolds that he's on the weekend working, and one of his employees shows up to work, which completely surprises him. Turns out to be an exchange student from Africa, and what are you doing here? He goes, well, I heard that the department was having problems, so I'm here to help. He goes, well, that's not your job. He goes, if the team has a problem, it's my job. I'm as good as the team is. And so that his world view, his life view, his cultural view was that it's the team. I can't be successful myself unless the team is successful. And he starts learning from this kid, a younger kid, about just his view of this concept that he believed in.
And it just takes something as simple as that, a cultural view or cultural change, to make you think and realign your thinking about what's important. I love it. Bob, we're out of time. I can't believe how quickly the time does go. If somebody wants to buy your new book, Ubuntu, where is the book available?
Well, of course, it's on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. We actually have a website just dedicated to the book called UbuntuTheBook.com. That's UBUNTU, TheBook.com. Also available at Borders, Barnes & Noble, as are many of my other books.
Very good. Bob, thank you so much. You truly are the guru of thank you. 1,000 different ideas running through this about ways we can really motivate and incentivize our employees. Thanks so much for being our guest on Fun Friday. Take care. I'll talk to you soon. And that brings us to the end of another show of Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. You listen to us every single day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Or you can hear me streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. That's Brainstorming, STORMIN online. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end each show by saying, go out and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's conventions, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow. Join me on Monday. We'll see you then.